Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We'll continue with this series on giving up, and we're talking about our finances. Finance is incredibly important in all of our lives, but particularly in the life of believers. And I want to talk to you today about the message of Jesus towards our finances. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe every time the message of Jesus is preached, I believe every time that we speak from the Word of God, that it is a message that comes forth to give us life, not to give us death. I believe the message is to give us freedom, not put us in bondage. I believe His message of the Word of God is to bring liberation to your souls, to your life, to all that you are, to your spirits, and to the work of the cross to actually set you free to live a life that's actually worth living. That's actually what I believe. Call me crazy, but that's what I believe. And hopefully you believe that too. But not just about our souls and our spirit. I believe God wants liberation and blessing for our finances. Now, how many would like a little liberation and blessing on your finances? Say, that's me. Okay, good. All right, so we're going to talk about that today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know there's a reality. We talked about it last week. We have these balls of debt in our life, and what are we going to do with them, and how do we face them, and how do we approach them when they're so overwhelming? And listen, I believe there's an answer to all of that. Listen, my friends, we serve a God that is the God of the impossible, okay? He's the God of the impossible. I'm just not making that up just to make you feel good. I've actually seen it. I've seen the reality of it. This is the God that we serve. With you, the Bible says, with man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Say that with me. Nothing is impossible. Okay, so we're going to talk today about a principle called multiplication. I'm going to talk to you about multiply. Now listen, how many of us have had subtraction happen to our finances before? Yeah, you're like, yep, again, that's me, yep, that's me. And we've had addition happen before, but I want to talk to you about how do we get multiplication to happen. Now, as we were praying through this series, we really felt like this principle needed to be communicated again, because I believe we're in a season that God wants to bless us as a church. And even though I've taught on this particular subject before, and I've taught on it in from different angles, but I'm going to teach from it again from an angle I have before, because I believe it's important we understand and see the reality that God wants to multiply your finances. Listen, I will take multiplication with my finances all day long. I like that part. Sure, you put it times 3, times 4, times 10 on it. I like that. That works really well for me, and I know it would work well for you. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 9. If you want to grab your Bibles and open it to Luke chapter 9, you can grab it in front of you. Someone's happy about opening the Bible. That's a good thing. Wait, let's just do it. Hey, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. All right, it's good. All right. You guys are so clever. Listen, I believe this is a super important message. And before we begin to read this, I'm going to set this passage. We're going to starting in verse 12. I'm going to set it up just for a little bit. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. Listen, things are going really great. Things are happening. Things are wonderful. And things are going really well. Jesus has been ministering. He's been healing a lot of people. There's been some pretty significant things happening. And his disciples and Jesus think, hey, Jesus, we're tired. Jesus is like, well, me too. Because he was a man, fully man. He goes, let's go to a deserted place. Let's just chill. Let's relax. So they're like, man, this is so exciting. We've been working hard. So, you know, they kind of pack their little bag. They're going to go and hang out at a deserted place. And because they need to get away from the people. They love the people, and they need to get away from them so they can have some time together and have some time relaxing. And so, you know, they want to come out there. But and as they get out there, you know, someone brought a grill. And they're gonna maybe grill some hot dogs and just hang out and relax. And now, they were Hebrew nationals, just so you know. So, you know, they were still kosher. So, the Hebrew nationals, maybe some burgers, and they just were going to relax. They get out there, and all of a sudden they look around. They realize, uh-oh, someone's let the cat out of the bag. Everyone knows we're out here. and a crowd gathers because they love Jesus. They want to be around him. A crowd gathers, and Jesus, he's a good shepherd, and he loves people, and he just decides, I'm going to minister to them. So he stands up, and he begins to preach to them. And so let's go ahead and pick up this passage, starting in verse 12. This is Jesus is preaching. Starting in verse 12, it says, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, Jesus, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions. For we are in a deserted place here. In other words, there's nothing around here. There's no Chipotle, there's no Burger King, there's definitely no Starbucks. I'm getting a caffeine headache, so we need to send them away because I would like a little bit as well. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, excuse me? They said, sorry. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all these people, which, I mean, that would cost a pretty penny to feed all these folks. For there were about 5,000 men. Notice it says men. What that means is 5,000 was just the number of men. This is not including women and children. Many scholars believe it was about 20,000 people there. So when they ask, you want us to go buy that? You know, I mean, there's no Costco around here. We can't buy in bulk. How are we going to feed 20,000 people? So it was, I believe they were asking a question because they knew Jesus would be like, well, no, we're not going to buy for 20,000 people. So they said, you want us to feed these people? We have to go buy food. So remember, 5,000 men, 20,000 people. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so. And he made them all sit down. Then he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Verse 17 says, so they ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. This is often referred to as the feeding of the 5,000, but really it's the feeding of the 20,000. It's the feeding of thousands. And so I want us to put ourselves in the midst of this story, just like you and me. Remember, these disciples are just like you and me. They're not special. Listen, they're fishermen, they're just normal folks, a tax collector, a businessman, whatever. They're just normal folks just like you and me. They're not like uberly special or something. They're just like you and me, and they've been picked by God. And these guys have been walking with Jesus. They've seen the miracles. They've been loving this life of seeing this man, Jesus, because they've been waiting on this guy called the Messiah their whole life. They heard about it. They said, maybe next year. Maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the one. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited for all of these years. And now, somehow, this man who was ticking off all the boxes, this could be the Messiah, has asked them and said, hey, you, come and follow me. He didn't pick a lot of people. They just picked 12 of them. So they're like on the in crowd. They're like, they're in the inner circle. And here is Jesus. I mean, this is the largest crowd that's ever gathered. Many people believe it was larger than the Sermon on the Mount. It was the largest crowd. Things are going really well. And in their mind, the Messiah is going to come and deliver them from the tyranny of Rome that's ruling on the earth. And so they're like, man, this is great. Man, we got 20,000 people with us. This is awesome. This must be the Messiah. He has healed people. He's raised people from the dead. He walks on water. This is the man. So things are looking really good for them because, hey, they're close to the man. They feel like I've arrived and for some reason I've picked me. And so Jesus begins to preach and as he normally would. Now Jesus is a little long-winded actually this day. And he's preaching on and on and on. And they're thinking, man, this is great. Man, we have momentum. Our ministry is growing. I mean, come on. I mean, the atrium was full of people. They ran out of coffee, and people were just flocking. There was a line to get in the door because there was standing room only in the church. I mean, it was packed. This is a good thing. And Jesus is preaching. And he's preaching on and on and on. 12 o'clock rolls around. Well, that's not bad. That's about normal, you know. 1 o'clock rolls around. 2 o'clock rolls around. 3 o'clock rolls around. And they're thinking, hey, wait a minute here. Listen, Jason, or not, maybe it might be me. Listen, Jesus, That was funny. That's called a Freudian slip, actually. Jesus, listen, these people, they're hungry. Man, if he keeps preaching like this, they're never going to come back. We're going to lose momentum. We're going to lose kind of the great beauty of a growing ministry. They're going to say, I'm never going back to that service that they preached too long over there. He keeps preaching. 4 o'clock. By then, the sound man's in the back, like waving his hand, saying, like, listen, knock it off. He's pointing to the clock. Hello, look. 4 o'clock rolls around. 5 o'clock rolls around. And this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 12. We read it. It says, when the day began to wear away. What do you think that means? I think this is what it means. I think if they were in a church service, I mean, Luke wrote this book. If he was in a church service, I believe this is what it meant. When the pastor would not shut up. He kept going and kept telling stories and kept, oh, one more point. And I'm going to wrap this up in just one more point and just one more point. And so apparently they're thinking, you know, I mean, obviously Jesus didn't go to preaching 101. He didn't do that. Because by far, he'd already gone past the 30 minutes. He'd gone past 4 points in a poem and a prayer, and he was just still going. And I think the disciples thought, you know, we got to figure out a way to get out of here. We got to figure out a way to, because I'm starving. Like, just put yourself, like, we would be hungry, right? Many of you would just hit the eject button and say, I'm out of here, man. I'm hungry. And I think they, and many people believe, they felt the same way. We got to figure out a way to get out of here because I'm tired, I'm hungry, and listen, I'm going to starve to death. I believe they start talking to one another. What are we going to do? I mean, I'm hungry, you're hungry, Peter, you're hungry, you're cranky. I mean, what's going to go? And look at these people, they're hungry too. And I think one of the disciples said this, you're right. They're hungry. Let's go tell Jesus the people are hungry because he loves the people. He don't give a rip about us, but if we tell him the people are hungry, he'll dismiss, and we'll move on from here. So let's just say you're the one that they selected. All right, why don't you go tell Jesus? Maybe it was John, because, you know, Jesus was, you know, John called himself Jesus' beloved. So maybe it was John. So whatever it was, he walks, excuse me, Jesus is preaching. It's been like someone walking on stage being like, Jason, excuse me. So he stops preaching. Listen. Your message is great. Things are going really. The disciples, we were just talking. We love how you took that whole series and you just did it in one message. That's really great. And we could stay here all day long. This is awesome. But we feel like the people are tired. We feel like the people are hungry. And we feel like the people need to go home and get some food. We could keep going, actually. We'd love to stay here, but we're worried about the people because the restaurants are going to close, and, you know, we just want to make sure they're taken care of. And then once you tell Jesus this, he tells you this. He says, well, then you give them something to eat. Excuse me? Yeah, you give them something to eat. Okay, hang on a second, Jesus. I'll get back to you on that. So then you got to go back to your disciples because they selected you to go and talk to Jesus. And so you get back to so are we going to dismiss the service? No. Well, what did he tell you? He said for us to give them something to eat. Imagine you're just standing there talking. You're like, are you kidding me? I mean, look, there's 20,000 people here. We don't have food. What are we going to give them to eat to feed 20,000 people? About that time, a younger boy walks by with a brown paper bag. Let's turn it this way. And you're like, look, all we have is this kid's lunch. And what do we have here? We have some bread. We have like 5 loaves of bread. And they're just little ones. That's all we have. Now listen, we are a church that is, just so you know, just a side note, we are a church that really strives to be contextual when we teach. And so just so you know, I mean, And we have 2 fish. That's all we have. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Would you guys want some of this? Yeah. No, that'd be gross. But there you go. Just go ahead and take that. I Oh, she's going to throw it back. Okay, we're all right, we're all right. Now, keep that. I'm going to trust you with that. All right. Don't open it, because that's the fish's third service, okay? Need to understand. So listen, I mean, this is all we have. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of fun in church, all right? So we can relax with that. It's all we have. We have five loaves of bread and two fish. Well, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Okay, you know what? That's right. This is all we have. Go tell Jesus that's all we have. So you go back. Jesus still preaching. Excuse me, Jesus. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you again. So you told us to feed them. We've been doing our best. All we got is five loaves of bread and two fish. We tried it. It didn't work. So going back to our early conversation, Jesus, we think you ought to still wrap it up. So you ought to let people go because they're hungry. And Jesus said, so let me get this straight. You have five loaves of bread? Yeah, I know. Jesus, it's really just a little. And you only have two fish? Yeah, that's all I have is two fish. That's all we have. Jesus says, all right, well, that'll work. Have people sit down in groups of 50. You want us to go tell them to sit down? You go tell them to sit down in groups of 50. I mean, what would you be thinking at that point? Either two things. You think Jesus is crazy, or you think Jesus must be getting ready to do a miracle. Because that's what he does. You've seen him. You've experienced it. You know that's how he rolls. He does miracles, and it's awesome. And so you start putting him down in groups of 50. So you start thinking, you know what? I bet Jesus is going to multiply the bread and the fish himself. And so you bring the bread to him. And you give it to him. You give the fish, and you're imagining that Jesus is. You say, "Oh, Jesus, just so you know, we have five loaves, so you need to make around 19,995 more. Just make it happen. All right." And so, as a disciple, you have to be thinking too, let's watch this. Let's sit and watch and see Jesus take this. And multiply it. Now, remember, before that, they had to walk through the crowd and tell people. Imagine 20,000 people getting them sit in groups of 50. You know, that would be a lot of work, actually. I mean, you have to break it up with the disciples. Listen, you go this way, you go that way. And you just, hey, get in groups of 50. Groups of 50, please. Groups of 50, now you're not totally for sure. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know why. All we have are two fish and five loaves. You've seen Jesus do some things, but you've never seen him feed all these people. How's this even going to work? Groups of 50, please. And, oh, are you going to feed us? And I can imagine Peter, who was a man who just always said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And, are you going to feed us, Peter? I don't know. Can you sit in a group of 50? Why ask so many questions? Just sit down. I don't know. Just on a side note, Peter, Peter was quite the character. I resonate more with Peter than any other disciple just because sometimes I don't know when to shut up either. And what I love about Peter is Peter's out on the water. Remember the story? And Jesus is walking on the water. And so Jesus is walking up and they see him. They're like, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, do not fear, for it is I. And so the rest of the disciples are like, oh, it's Jesus. And then Peter's like, Jesus, if it's you, I can imagine Jesus being like, "Didn't I say it was I?" Anyway, so Peter's always kind of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and who knows what his attitude was like that day. I'm sure he was hungry. I'm sure he was cranky. His blood sugars were a little low. They hadn't eaten either, and so they're trying to figure this whole thing out. But here's what happened. So they take the bread to Jesus. They're waiting for him to do the miracle. He's going to break it. They're going to see it. They're like, okay, we got everybody, groups of 50. Great. Hey, boys, come on over here. Let's watch Jesus. He's going to multiply this, and they're watching. So they take Jesus, their five loaves and their two fish, and so Jesus takes it, and the Bible says that he took it, he blessed it. Father, thank you for that. I bless this food, Father. And he breaks it, and you're watching, and then he hands you a half a roll. And he says, go feed them, boys. Now remember, there's five loaves, so if he were to tore half, there would only be 10. So then you have to take one of your halves and tear that one and hand that to someone else. And so imagine the intimidation of walking up to a group of 50 that you put them in groups and they're thinking, we're going to eat. And you walk up to groups of 50 and you're like, because what you thought was going to happen just didn't happen. You wanted Jesus to just multiply it, and just all of a sudden, like manna from heaven, loaves of bread would drop, and ravens come in with carrying fish and dropping them. And I mean, it would have been wonderful. Like, that's what you're waiting on. But then Jesus puts this stinking half a loaf of bread back in your hand and says, go feed the 20,000 boys. It's crazy. And so, because you love Jesus, you want to obey him, you think, okay. So you walk down to your first group of 50. And what do you do? You just take a little bit. Just take a little bit. This has to feed all of us. I don't just take it. So you take a little bit. All right, you just take a little bit. No, I said a little bit. Like get your son in order. He can't take just a little bit. So you start giving it away, and you're thinking, man, what's this is? And all, giving it away, and you get about 10. You know, 12 people, and you're about ready. You think you're going to run out. You think, man, what's going on? This thing just keeps giving. And then you look back, and the people you gave it to had taken theirs, and they had broken it. And they'd given it to somebody else. And all of a sudden, by the time you get to number 10, number one had started. It had made its way around the circle of the group of 50. And by the time you get here, you're like, how did you get that? And you look, and they had broken it, and they'd started giving it to another group of 50 and another group of 50. And all of a sudden, you think, by golly, look at this. I mean, you look down, it's still a half a roll, but it just keeps giving. And by then, you think, you know, just take as much as you want. We are men of God and men of faith. Just pass this thing around. Oh, ye of little faith, did you not think a half a roll shall feed 20,000? And you begin to do it, and you see the miracle of multiplication happen where? In your hands and in the hands of people that you gave it to. So this is the tremendous story of multiplication. So what can we learn from this? What does this have to do with our finances? That was a great story, Jason. Excuse me, you were talking about finances, not fish and loaves. This is what it has to do with. I believe that God, every passage in Scripture has an application to our lives, and I believe this one is it. What can we learn? Number one, your need, whatever you have, whatever your need is an opportunity. It is not an impossibility. Remember, the disciples were facing an impossibility, and that's how they saw it. It's an impossibility. Their solution was tell people to go. Their solution was pull the e-brake, hit the eject button. We're done. We can't do this. We got to let them go. The need was food, and there was none. Your need may be finances. Your need is thinking, this is all I have. This is all I have left. And the need before me is like trying to feed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what you might feel like. Your bank account has this, and you know that's what you need. Boy, how's that going to happen? We're all there. We all go through times. We all go through struggles like that. It's the same. And I feel like God wants to say this today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what your bank statement says, no matter what your ball of debt is that we saw last week, whatever you need is an opportunity for God to do a miracle. I really believe that. I'm just not spouting off smoke to you to be some faith preacher. I believe it because when you read the Bible, it's all through it. You may be sitting here today and so, Jason, that's not very intellectual. You're right, it's not. It's called supernatural. And you have to believe that your need is an opportunity for God to do something in your life. Listen, all of us were at a place in our lives where we needed a Savior. You deserved hell. You deserved damnation. You deserved to be condemned. You were a filthy person with no hope. You needed something. And what did you have in your hand to do something about your condition? Nothing. And so God did a miracle. God took your need, and you saw it as an impossibility, but God saw it as an opportunity to rescue your soul from the pit of hell and put you at his table and say, eat all you want. So if he can do that with salvation, he can do that in the physical realm in our life. So my friends, listen, before you give up, before you throw in the towel, before you let your situation dictate your decisions or what you're going to do, or they need to go home, we need to eject, we need to stop doing this. Listen, check with Jesus first. Ask him first what you should do. Things are hopeless. Listen, this isn't just about money. You can apply this principle to any area of your life. That is, you got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you got 20,000 people. The situation's impossible. This is what you have. It's hopeless. Listen, before you start making decisions, ask Jesus. It's not complicated, but we miss it. Do you know why we miss it? Because so many times our hunger pains, our need becomes our priority. What we're feeling, the confusion of debt, the confusion of finance, the confusion of a broken marriage, the confusion of whatever it is we're going through, our pain becomes our priority. And because it's our priority, we don't think about, I should talk to Jesus. Our answer is not more money. Our answer is for what we have in our hand, as broken, as lousy, as disappointment, as insignificant. What's important is that what we have in our hand is blessed by Jesus. Secondly, what can we learn from the story? It must be blessed before it can be multiplied. This is the same way in the story. They took it to Jesus. He blessed it. And then it was multiplied. What would have happened if the disciples would have just said, well, he told us to find some food and give it out to people. So here you go. Here's the 5 loaves. And you just start, I don't know, you just toss them to people. There's only 5 loaves. Just toss them. And then they would have eaten it. And then that's all. What would have happened to the 20,000 people who were hungry? They would have stayed hungry. They would not have had their needs met. It was the blessing of Jesus that gave this the potential to be multiplied. And there are many folks that this is what happened. They give away and use what they have in their hand before it's blessed. I would call that this, is that some people eat your seed. What do you need to get a harvest? You need to plant seeds. But so many times our need is so, it's overwhelming that we eat our seed. I grew up in a farming community. I worked at a University of Illinois Ag Center where we would farm, I would plant, we would take, it was a lot of fun growing up in the summertime, and that's what I would do. And so you took seed, and many times you would harvest something, and then you would set a portion aside for the next year for the seed. Now, what happened if you would eat your seed? It means you would have nothing to plant and nothing to harvest the next year. And so many people, you eat, and I've done it too. We eat our seed, and we have nothing to do. We have nothing that we can even take to Jesus. We just eat it. It's like our last meal. Because our need and our pain becomes a priority instead of going to Jesus. And it doesn't go very far when you eat your seed. All you have to eat is your seed. So here's the question. How does God bless what I have in my hands? And I'll tell you what I believe with all of my heart is, how does God bless what you have in your hand? And you'll hear more about this next week from Pastor George. But it's the simple principle of tithing. Now let me explain what tithing is. It's bringing the first 10% into the house of God. It's the tithe. We make 100%, whatever we make. The 10% is what commands God's blessing on the 90%. And when God blesses it, it has the potential, the 90, to multiply. If you eat your seed, if you eat your 10%, if you eat your seed, how can you ever get a harvest? Because you've eaten it. Now listen, I know you're thinking, Jason, this sounds like, you know, as many times you flip through for the stations. I watch Christian television, but I'll tell you what, I turn it really quick when someone says, for a $137 seed, you can plant this seed and you will get a $1,000 harvest. And they're saying, just put it on your credit card in faith. Excuse me. And what happens is, because we've seen that a lot, it's somehow we think that every preacher, every religious Christian organization wants our money. And I've thought that at times as well. But I'm telling you this, as one of your pastors, those on TV are not your pastor. They will not stand before God and give an account for your life and your soul and what they taught. Yeah, they will in some ways, but you know, according to Hebrews, it says the pastor is the shepherd of the congregation's soul. In other words, what you teach them, what you share with them, you will stand before God as a teacher of God's word and give an account, and you will be held to a higher standard than other people. That's the reality. And so I share this with you today because as one of the pastors here at the church, I believe this is what God wants for you and your life, is for us to teach this area of tithing. Listen, I tell you this. If it's wrong, I will give an account for teaching it. But I don't teach anything. And the elders in this church, we stand and we know this is what the Word of God says. I mean, it doesn't make sense, though, really, to give. So you're telling me that if I have 100%, and I take 10%, and I give it to the house of God, I give it to the place where I'm fed spiritually, to the church, you're telling me that God will do more with the 90 than he could with 100? That makes no sense. I agree with you. It doesn't make sense. I totally agree with you. That is very logical. It doesn't make sense. But God doesn't operate in earthly wisdom, does he? Because his kingdom is not of this world. Let me say something else. The rules of God's kingdom are upside down compared to what the world has to offer. So if you want to be a leader, what do you have to do? You have to be a servant. That doesn't make any sense. If you want to truly find life, Jesus says you have to die. That doesn't make any sense. If you want to get back at, I'll tell you what, if you want to stick it to your enemy, then this is what you need to do. You need to love them. What? That's no fun. If you want to be first, then you need to be what? Last. If you want to keep what you have, then you need to give it away. I mean, none of this makes sense. If you want the blessing of God on your finances, then you need to return to the house of God the tithe, the 10%. I know it doesn't make sense. The supernatural doesn't make sense. That's why it's called supernatural. It is above the natural. Listen, God is not bound to the natural world, and thank God he's not. He can do supernatural things with natural things. He can take nothing and make something. And I believe God delights in doing miracles through his people. Who else is he going to do miracles through on the earth? It's you. It's me. I believe he delights in doing it, for one, because he gets all the glory. We stand back and we say, my goodness, that was God. And he says, I know, I'm pretty good, aren't I? He gets all the glory. We can't take any of it from him. And I think the second thing it does is it humbles us as a child of God to say, my God loves me, and he is more than I could ever ask or think. He's far beyond what I ever need. He provides for me, and it's very humbling, and we're humbled by his love for us. Isaiah 55 says it this, and we've heard this a lot. God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. In other words, hey, listen, he is not bound to the way that we would do things. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, listen, it doesn't make sense. I don't see how this works on paper, but I'm telling you, the ways of God are not ways that you can write on paper and make sense in a university. That's why he is a God who saves us, who rescues us, who takes us. He makes something out of us because he is a God of the supernatural. So as a follower of Jesus, tithing is the key to seeing miracles with what is left in your hand, the 90%. Remember this, the miracle did not happen in the hands of Jesus, did it? We want it to. They wanted it to. I tell you what, it'd make me feel a lot better if it did. Because then I wouldn't have to walk down to the group of 50 and hand them a half a loaf. It'd be great. I'd love to walk to them in confidence, but, you know, with this big basket, isn't God good? But that's not how Jesus did it. It required faith for those disciples to approach that crowd of 20,000 people with a half a loaf of bread. Imagine what they're feeling. This doesn't make sense. But they were obedient. They knew God, Jesus had blessed it. And they were going to test him. They were going to try. They were just going to be obedient to the word of Jesus. And the outcome was Jesus' prerogative. So at first we give the tithe. Then with the remaining, we give to the needs of others, to missions, to projects, above your tithe to the church. And as we give the remaining 90, listen to me, we see it multiplied and we see the miracle. That's what we see. Listen, I know you're saying, Jason, I can't do this. Like, listen, I'm strapped. Like, I can't give 10%. And I want to challenge you. Give something. Consistently give something. Work your way up to 10%. Many times people say, well, listen, I can't give 10%, so I won't give anything. Listen, I think that's a lie from the pit of hell. And that we're under shame and guilt and condemnation. I can't reach the 10%, so therefore God's curse is on my life. Listen, God's curse is not on your life. Jesus took every curse that you deserve. He took the wrath of God upon himself so that in Christ you are free from that. So forget that part. Listen to this part. God's just waiting on you to begin to step out in your generosity with what you have and just begin to give him what you have. Listen, families, sit down today and say, what are we going by faith going to start giving regularly to the house of God so we can meet, so God can touch us and do the miracles in our own life. And this is what it looks like. As we give, listen, what you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. What you keep is all you have. And what you give, God multiplies. Now, we have this first person. Let's say this together. What I keep is all I have, and what I give, God multiplies. Say that again. What I keep is all I have, and what I give, God multiplies. What if after Jesus had blessed the bread, the disciples would have eaten it? Jesus, can you bless us? He blesses it. Thanks, Jesus. You go eat it. Their bellies would have been full. But guess what? They would have missed out on the miracles that they would have seen with their own hands. Every person in this room wants God to do something in their life that they could be a part of God's kingdom and see the supernatural move forth on the earth and somehow think, I was somehow part of that. No one wants to serve a God that can save us, but they can't do anything else in our lives. I don't. I know that's a bold statement because I believe that I've seen God do the miraculous in my life over and over and over and over again. I've been able to do things that I never should have dreamt. I never should have ever done. I never would have dreamt I would have done. But God provided them for me because I was generous with the 90, because I gave the 10, and I saw God doing it. And I'll tell you this, every time, every month I give 10%, it takes faith. Because that is real money I'm giving away. It's not just some, it's not Monopoly money. It is real money. And every month it takes faith. And every month I see God's provision. I see his blessing on my life. It may not be finances. It's in health. It's in a car. Listen, God has blessed cars. God has we have things that last far longer than they possibly should. People are like, how in the world does that thing work? I don't know. It has God's blessing on it. We don't see the miracle. God wants us to give. In Luke 6:38, he says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, he will put into our bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Listen, my friends, we started with the brown bag special, didn't we? We started here. The disciples started with this. They started with this. All of us start with this. This is it. This is what we start with. Let me ask you guys a question. What do you prefer? Brown bag special, or you prefer this? You prefer that. You prefer God's provision. Yeah, you can. It's fine. You can see the brown bag special, but you won't see a miracle. You live a life that just is just you'll barely get by. Someone says, I have a need. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I just have my brown bag special. I just have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You better go do something. I can't help you. I can't serve you. What if the disciples just would have just stayed with their brown bag special and just went over to the corner and just ate it themselves? And listen, no one prefers this. If you had a choice, no one in their right mind would say, you know, I'd rather have this. No one. But instead, you took what you had. Jesus blessed it. He broke it, and you passed it out. And you began to, you took the what was left over, and you began to give it out. And what happened is you fed 20,000 people. You saw it happen. You were in the middle of it. You were a part of it. 20,000 people were fed. And what was left over, according to Scripture, were 12 basketfuls, 12 doggy bags for the disciples to take home to their family, to take care of mama, to take care of uncle, to take care of your cousin, take care of your whoever else, your neighbor Jimmy who needs some help. It was all left over. And they walked out of there. Now listen, they could have just eaten that, but they never would have been in the middle of the miracle of God. All of us want to be a part of that. Take what you have left. Take your 90% and be generous with it so that you can experience the miracle of multiplication and God can use you to be provision for others. I'll tell you this. This isn't about money. Listen, we don't just need money to live on. I don't need money. I don't give a rip how much money I make. I need a reason to live. I need something that wakes. A dollar bill is not going to wake me up in the morning, but a purpose to arise and know God's called me this day to be a part of His miracle. That wakes me up every morning. What is God going to do in our church? What is God going to do in the life of Faith Bible Chapel? What is God going to do in your life and in your life and in your life? That wakes me up in the morning because I believe it's a miracle that God wants to happen in our midst. And you need a reason to live. And every follower of Jesus that's been covered by the blood of Jesus, has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, can be a conduit for a blessing of God to those around us. But He's looking for those who are willing to be conduits for the miracles. And my challenge to you, when's the last time? When's the last time you tithed? When's the last time you gave something consistently as an act of faith? Listen, if it was easy, you wouldn't need faith. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy, it wouldn't take a moment to die to yourself, to come to grips with the purposes of God over the need and the hunger pains in my life. When's the last time you begin to give away part of the 90%? When's the last time you woke up and you said, God, I want to be the conduit of your miracle today? When's the last time you did that? You asked that. Listen, miracles are there to be snatched up, to be lived out, to be talked about, to be celebrated. They're around us all the time. There are miracles in this room that need to happen. Maybe you're the answer to your miracle. As I was preparing for this message, I used to walk around with a $100 bill in my pocket. For one, it just made me feel better. But secondly, I would do it because I wanted God to speak to me. I want to give that money away to somebody. And I've done it here at church. And here's the crazy thing. People have done it back to me. And imagine a group of people who are always sensitive to the needs of people. So you think someone's hungry? Just give them $20. Give them $5. Give them $10. As you sow into missionaries, imagine that. Imagine what that money does. When it comes, let's say someone gives you $50, okay? That money, and they're a tither, that money is blessed. That money has the dust of a miracle on it. And as you then use that, as you tithe from that 50, and then you begin to do something, all of a sudden you transfer the miracle into their life. And then that miracle passes to somebody else. And that miracle passes to somebody else. It's the same way that happened in the feeding of the 20,000. As this miracle, as I gave to you, then it broke and became to them. And then all of a sudden they were a part of the miracle. They were a part of the miracle. You were a part of the miracle. Imagine out of the 90% you support a missionary, and that money is blessed by God. It's got God's favor all over it. You give $10 a month, $100 a month, you give $500 a month to the mission field, that mission money goes to someone that it's God's blessing on it. All of a sudden, they begin to do the work of God in the ministry, and that ministry becomes blessed because that provision was blessed by God, and then that one is blessed by God. We do not see the power of the miracle and how it works. We want to see it. You show me before I'll do it. Listen, forget that. Just begin to do it, and I guarantee you will begin to see it. God wants us. I want you. I want all of us to wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed saying, today's the day. God's going to do a miracle through my life. And I'm telling you, as you give, it breaks the stronghold of poverty off of your life. It breaks the stronghold of greed off of your life. It breaks the stronghold of this filthy world off your life. And we actually become a community that looks nothing like the world because the miracles are happening. And I know there are needs here today. I just heard a story last night. There was a couple that sat in our Saturday night service, and they were writing out their tithe check. And they were like, God, we're just believing for you. I mean, things were short that month. And they wrote it out, and they put in the offering, and they stood for the offering song. And all of a sudden, as they're just worshiping, they look over the person standing next to them. The person said, hey, listen, someone just gave me this envelope, and they told me to give it to you. So they said, okay, thank you. They took it, they sat down, and they opened it, and it was beyond, for one, their tithe, but it was beyond, and it met every need that they needed that month already. Why? Because someone else was their miracle. And then that was blessed, and then they've been generous to give to other people. I just talked to a guy as well. He was facing a $250,000 lawsuit, and it was an arbitration, and all these things were going on, and he had $70,000 saved up. He had done his best to save, and he didn't know what they're going to do. And so they're just praying, God, we're just believing for a breakthrough, and he just thinks it was not falling in the right direction, and they were really concerned. And he had done nothing wrong. And so you know what God told him to do? He said, you know that $70,000? He goes, yes. He said, I want you to give 25 of it away. That doesn't make sense. Because if it goes that way, then I'm going to need. He said, okay, God. So they withdrew $25,000 and they gave in 5,000 increments to people in the church that they felt like God would lay on their heart to do it. And all of a sudden, he just a couple weeks after that, all of a sudden, he got word that everything had been dropped, that nothing was going to happen, that the ruling didn't go through, and they were free and clear. Why? Because they were tithers, and they took part of their 90%, and they began to be the miracle. They were the miracle to people in this congregation right here. Imagine that. I'll end with a story. You never know the power of the miracle. As little, as big, you never know. I just heard the story this week. This church did these cards, and actually we've done them as well, but did these cards that people were to be generous to folks. And so this lady was going through the drive-thru, and she pulled up, and it was a fast food restaurant. She pulled up, and she said, hey, I'm going to pay for the car behind me. And can you just hand them this card? And the card said, you are loved and cherished by God. That was it. So it was like $7 and something cents of the car behind her. So she drove away. She handed the cashier the card. She just drove away. Didn't think anything of it. Well, that next week, the church got a phone call because on the back of the car was the church. The church got a phone call. And the lady that she bought the food for had that person's license plate number. And said, I don't know who this was, but here's their license plate number. Can you just tell them thank you and that they saved my life? And the secretary said, yeah, no problem. I'll tell them. She goes, no, you don't understand. They saved my life. She said, that was my last meal. And I was going to go home. And I was going to commit suicide. And I pulled up and I got this card that said, you were loved and cherished by God. And someone bought me my meal. She said, I knew at that point that God had a reason for my life. And I'm alive today because of that. Why was that? That was the miracle of the 90%. That was someone being sensitive. Listen, you think it's just money. It's so much more than money.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.